podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hey folks, this is Chris. Good morning. Welcome to episode 28 of Run Run Live. Hey, it's, T-minus what here, 4 or 5 for my ultra this weekend, so cool. I feel great. I think this is going to be a non-event. So I get to see all my friends up there, Ron and Scott, my buddy Dan's riding the bike on it, and my old friend Ted McMahon, is going to come up and run it with us, even though I think his longest training run is 17 miles. So I'm going to get him on the phone. We're going to talk about that. Ted and I have done some wacky crap together in the past, so this is certainly not outside that envelope. In the tips section, I'm going to continue to give you some actual running tips, believe it or not, for your running, because it's all old hat for me, so I don't know why people are interested in this stuff. You know, but I think today I'll give you some tips on speed work for you guys who are contemplating trying to get faster. And we'll see how that goes, all right? So enjoy the show, man.
And now for the equipment check.
Nice morning. Look at that, the maples are turning red. Went out on the trail this morning around 7:30. It's about, 5 to 10 degrees Celsius. Somewhere around 30 to 40 Fahrenheit. A little frosty. Gonna have to get the gloves out pretty soon. Ah, man. Yeah, so anyhow, this is my last run of any distance before my ultra. I'm gonna do like 2 hours. There goes Spur Boy out swimming around. He doesn't care. Or a chainsaw across the way. Too late now. Wood'll never dry to burn this year. Yeah, so I'll keep moving here, but I started to run this morning. I felt a little clunky, and then I realized I was just worrying. I was just stressing about my race, so got that out of my head. Feel okay. You know, joints are a little sore. I don't know what's up with that. I think it's the tail end of this virus that I got, but other than that, it's a beautiful day, and I feel great. And that's AC/DC here in the background. That's on my headset. Yeah, I'm one of those. Come on, dog. Come on, dog. Talk to you later. I made a major faux pas in my energy balls recipe batch making last night. I was making some up for the race and couldn't find any cocoa nibs, so I said, I know, I'll use chocolate-covered espresso beans instead. Well, that plus the dark chocolate kind of gave it sort of a chocolate overload. And there's so much chocolate in it, they're sticking to my teeth. So I get this sort of like semi-sweet chocolate dental cement all over my teeth while I'm running, which I'm pretty sure is not going to be good for the race. So I'm going to have to scrap this batch and make another. So, note to self, chocolate-covered espresso beans. I froze them up and crushed them. But you ever had chocolate-covered espresso beans? They're like amphetamines. So, plus they got me a little weird. They're a little weird for my head. They're a little strong. A little weird for my stomach, so I'm gonna redo this batch. I'm gonna admit to myself that I made a mistake and move on. So what do I do with these 40 chocolate espresso energy balls? Yeah, give the dog, watch them run around in circles. I'll leave them out for the squirrels. Oh, I just got a visual. All right, that's it. My last 2 hour run, took it nice and slow. Feel okay. My knees are achy. I don't know what's up with that. Must be the cold weather. I don't know. It's probably just stress. So that's it. Take it easy. Run 3 easy runs this week, and then I'm off to run 50 miles. I'll try to find a way to take the recorder with me. although my slant pack doesn't have much room in it. I'm going to find a way. I think this thing has a lariat. You can sort of hang it around your neck. Yeah, I think it's got a hole for it, so maybe I can do that. I don't know. I'm pretty tough on electronics. You know, typically electronics and the 40 ounces of fluids that I excrete every hour don't get along well. So, all right, man. We'll see you out there.
And now for our featured interview.
See, it worked.
It did work.
Yeah, I was afraid I might fat finger it because my fingers are cold out here walking the dogs. Got to be like, I don't know, 36 or so.
Is that right?
You've been outside?
Not for about an hour and a half.
I can see my breath.
Wow.
So, me and Buddy went for a run when we got home. You know, the sun's going down pretty early these days.
Oh, I know. I got stuck out on a bike ride the other day.
Like, what? Yeah, that always happens to me. This time of year, I always stuck someplace. And it's like, oh, crap, it's dark.
That's right. Fall is here.
So, Ted.
So, yes.
Welcome to my podcast.
Well, thank you, Mr. Russell.
We're old running buddies.
I know.
Sort of cut from the same cloth here, except that you're a lot faster than I am.
On some days.
Yeah, I think the only race I ever beat you in was the one where your Crohn's acted up down at Martha's Vineyard, the 20-miler. And you had to spend a half an hour in the woods.
Yep.
Or someplace.
Been there. We all have those races where something bottoms out, right?
Oh, yeah. I have about half of mine. So it makes it challenging.
Absolutely.
So you got to come up and run. You got to come up and run the Vermont 50 with me?
Well, that's the rumor. That is the rumor.
And what's your long run?
Well, I did get in a 22.
Oh, okay. So you're all set.
Yeah, so I figured, okay, well, if I can do that, I can do twice that. And then I can slug out the last 10K, right?
Yeah, it's really, what I found it's really the electrolytes.
Yeah.
It's not so much energy or nutrition, because we know how to run tired, you know?
Right.
It's really the electrolytes. And I got these Endurolytes from Anthony, those pills you take.
Yes.
And either they're illegal substances or they're doing what they need to do, because you never get that sort of mental tiredness that you get at the end
right.
of a long race.
Right.
I mean, your legs get tired, but you're still able to say, okay, my legs are tired.
Exactly.
I'm going to keep going, you know?
I did try those in the Ironman. I thought they were effective.
Yeah, so, because, you know, you're going to get tired. The whole point is you're running tired, but you don't really fail until your brain goes.
Right. Well, I talked to someone who did the race a couple of years back, did quite well in it, and he said it's about hydration, nutrition, pace, and then he said it's about hydration and nutrition. Those were the top five.
Yeah.
So he really emphasized that. And I discovered a great product. I don't know if I told you about it about a year and a half ago where, you know, I have a delicate plumbing system, and I can't stomach a whole lot. So these long events can be a little tricky when you have to take nutrition. But I found a drink called Infinite Nutrition. And
what is it?
It's called Infinite.
Okay. Who makes it?
It's its own company. I think it's infinitenutrition.com or something like that. But if you Google Infinite Nutrition, It's a custom blended drink mix, and depending on the length of the event, if you're a heavy sweater or a light sweater, whether you like a light taste or a heavy taste, and it asks you a whole lot of questions, and then they custom blend a drink for you. And their theory is you don't need to take any goos or bars as long as you drink the drink. And
so what is it? I mean, does it have actual nutrition in it, like carbohydrates, proteins, and fats?
Exactly, and it has enough calories. So it has everything that a goo would have, but somehow they get it in there without it being heavy tasting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so it, you know,
I'm kind of, I really like the Hammer nutrition products right now.
Yep.
Because they don't have as much, they're not as harsh as the Goos and the Gatorade type products.
Right.
Some people don't like the Heed. I don't mind it, but if, you know, if you get real, if I was racing, I don't think I could drink it. Because I'm going so slow on these ultras,
yeah.
You know, I think you're giving yourself time to digest some stuff you normally wouldn't be able to keep down.
Right.
You know, because if we were out there tooling for a three-hour marathon, there's no way I'd be able to keep half this stuff down.
Right, exactly.
But so when did you do your Ironman this year?
Well, I did the Lake Placid Ironman, which was third weekend in July.
Right.
And second year in a row, managed to take a little more than half an hour off my time, so I was pleased with that.
What was your finish?
I did a 10:40 this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And was quite happy with that.
What did you take the most off? You swim?
Well, relatively speaking, yes. I took 6 minutes off the swim, which was, you know, greater than 10% of my time, or
right.
Somewhere right around there. So that was the most significant improvement I made. I think it was an interesting day because all week it had been same weather forecast, hot, humid, chance of showers, and, you know, high about in the 70s, maybe 80. And same weather forecast, so I thought, well, it's going to be the same, you know, little rain burst comes along, no big deal. And we got halfway through the swim, and the sky opened up.
Yeah.
And it never shut down for 14 hours. And so we got out of the water, and it was pouring rain out. I thought, oh, this could be a long day.
This was this year?
This year, yeah. So I made some rookie mistakes. I didn't plan on cold rain all day long, so I didn't put any arm warmers in my transition bag or anything at all warmer than the sleeveless jersey I was wearing. So,
I go with the massive layer of subcutaneous body fat, and
yeah.
I find that helps a lot.
I've heard that. In fact, I saw that working for some folks out there. And I just said, well, we'll see you on the run. And
yeah.
So, yeah, there were points in that bike that I was felt like I was going into hypothermia. You know, a lot of shivering going on.
Yeah.
And I wear prescription bike glasses, but of course I had to take those off because I couldn't see through them with all the rain. So
right.
it was an interesting. I think by about mile 90, I had some double vision going on. And just slugged it out, and then had a fairly slow marathon. So I felt like I left some time out there, which of course means that I went ahead and signed up for next year.
And yeah, well, you know, I think you're probably you probably warmed up a little bit on the run because that's your sport, you know.
Yes.
You were probably pretty thankful to be getting off that bicycle.
I absolutely was, and I wasn't cold on the run. I was just out of energy at that point.
But, so, did you do Boston? Do I remember seeing you at Boston this year?
No, I took a fallow year, as they say. I was out in Utah doing some trail running, and I, you know, the reason I did that, Chris, was, you know, Boston is a wonderful event. You know, I've done it many times, but I also know that if I had done Boston, it would have, in all likelihood, meant that I needed to back off on my training just after it. And those are crucial weeks for training for Lake Placid.
Well, you know, Ted, not everyone goes ahead and leaves themselves on the course like you do. You're like Frank. You do that. If I don't end up in the mid-10, it wasn't a good race.
Well, they did need a couple of IV bags at Lake Placid for me. You'll be glad to hear. apparently, I was looking a little gray at the finish line. They said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." They said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." They said, "Come with us." but yeah, I just needed a little fluid.
So this whole divorce thing has really helped your running, huh?
Well, I guess if it needs to be a silver lining, anyone who's going down that road is, tough being away from the kids, but you do end up with some time on your hands that I've made use of, how I like doing it best.
Training. But, it's good. I see that a lot, especially people our age when they go through a separation or something, they just sort of channel themselves into running. And it's a lot better than losing yourself at the bottom of a bottler getting depressed,
Yeah, it's true. Anyone who's been through that knows there's a lot of depression that goes along with it. But ever since I can remember running in particular, but now, getting into some multi-sport stuff, has always been a way to relieve stress, to help me clear my head. I like nothing better than to start out the day with a run. Like you said, it's sure a hell of a lot healthier than hitting the bottle when you're feeling a little blue.
Yeah, exactly. So, we had a great adventure a couple of years back. We went down to... I don't remember why, but we did the train three days a week for a qualified marathon program.
That's right.
Which was quite popular. When I wrote up that article for Cool Running, it was quite popular. Everybody wanted to know how to do it. And the truth is, it's a little tabloidy because you really have to do more work than 3 days a week.
Well,
and we just sort of lucked out.
Well, we did. I think it's a... I remember I was coming off some injury and
yeah, me too.
And I was worried about running more than 3 days a week. And I think
right, exactly.
I think that there are folks out there that really would love to do a marathon, but running is not their passion per se. But they'd love to accomplish that. I think it's a good program if you're willing to cross train.
Right.
Where you can. You can make three quality days of running, but you better put in at least two other days of quality training doing something else.
Right, and it's basically you just do the sucky parts of training.
Yeah.
Because I remember I'd do speed work on Tuesday.
Yep.
Tempo work on Thursday, and a fast long run. The program has you do not a normal long run, but a fast long run.
Right.
And those are your 3 days a week, but then. Monday through Friday, I was in the pool swimming.
Right.
So it's not really 3 days a week. It's really 6 days a week. Just you happen to be doing something else the other three.
That's right.
But the net was you ran a 2:54 in that marathon.
Yep.
And I qualified as well. We won't mention what my time was, but I qualified for an old guy. I had
well,
a good race.
It had been quite a while since I had broken that 3 hour. Barrier, and then a year and a quarter later in Houston, I went and tied my PR from 15 years earlier. So, I'm loving seeing these older, quote unquote, older athletes. Lance getting back in the tour and Derek Torres getting back into it in the Olympics. There's no reason to slow down quite yet. That's my theory.
Well, it's pretty cool, just for anybody who's listening out there. When you get, at Boston they have these qualifying times.
Yes.
And the qualifying times, when you get over, 45, they give you an extra 10 minutes. So my qualifying time right now is a 3:30.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you don't slow down that much between, 30 and, so far I haven't slowed down that much at all.
Right.
And most of the guys we run with, the only reason they slow down is to get injured.
Yes.
They're still running their same time. So basically they're giving you an extra half an hour, and your performance has only dropped, you know, maybe 8 to 10% at most. You lose it on the speed end. You don't lose it on the endurance end.
Well, I'm counting on that for this weekend, because I certainly haven't had I haven't worked on speed at all. I just am going on the basis that I must have some sort of base underneath me.
Well, I've been training at like a 10-minute pace, just to goes to show you, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a good pace for this kind of race. You know, it's
right.
A faster pace. But it's way different. It's so much less painful than training for a, you know, like 3:10 or 3:15 or even a 3:20 marathon, because you're not down at the track doing, you know, spinning miles off at 6:30s or 6s. You're just out in the woods, walking, eating.
Exactly.
Hang out.
Enjoying the day.
And I really think this ultra stuff, once people catch on that it's actually easier
right.
than, you know, than hard training, I think it's going to explode. I think you'll be seeing, you know, the rock and roll ultras.
I think you're right. I think the, you know, I would say the same for triathlons, that the, you know, the Ironman, you know, if you go anaerobic, you're digging a grave.
Right.
And I think it's the same for, you know, an ultra, whereas in a marathon, if you've trained properly, you know, you can push the pace up a hill.
Yeah, you're right on the razor's edge.
Right on the razor's edge.
Of going too fast, and that's what you're training for.
Exactly. And in the, you know, I find for these, you know, ultra events, you know, you really back it off a step or two, and like you said, it's less painful. I think a 5K is painful, you know?
Yeah, I'd be terrified to run a 5K right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it would hurt. It would just hurt.
Yeah, and I'd probably injure myself, too, but I could...
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, you're the guy. What'd you do in that race over in Westford that time where you like broke your leg and won the race or something?
Oh gosh, I remember my hip wasn't feeling so hot. Something wasn't feeling quite right, but I duked out a sprint at the finish, and I think came out on the winning end of that one. But I remember standing around at the finish line realizing I couldn't move.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this isn't very good. Yeah. And I was sitting there just chatting it up, drinking some water, and finally asked someone to give me a ride home. And it had turned out that I had a stress fracture on my top of my femur.
Yeah.
Of all places, right at the ball of the joint. So that, that you know... Try to stay away from that short stuff. It scares me.
Yeah, no, I get it's strange the reactions I'm getting. You know, people say you're running 50 miles in the mountains, and they're, you know, they just can't believe it.
Yeah.
And you know, but as an experienced marathoner, experienced runner, it's way easier.
It is.
I mean, the only hard part is finding 6 hours for a training run.
Well, that's it. You got to be able to find the time, and that is the tricky part. Hey, I found another great something else great that I've added to my training. I do it once a week, and I wouldn't even call it cross training. I would just call it another way to train. And it's a program that's been developed, and I'm not even going to be able to give you the history of the program, other than that a local. Guy named Steve Victorson, Dr. Victorson. He runs the Harvard Ridge Fitness Center, which is
sure.
on the Boxborough Harvard line. And he runs a program that's called Swim Fit. And essentially, it combines water and land exercise. And he runs you through these different exercises. And we do quite a lot in the pool with the belt on. And, you know, he can tailor it to strength, coordination, endurance, speed, agility. You know, it's something that is quite different. It makes your body think, it makes your mind think. when he all of a sudden says, okay, now do this and walk backwards in the pool at the same time, and you know, you feel like you're learning to walk again or something. But I come out of those sessions feeling really, really ready for the next day of training. It's one of these sort of new alternatives, I would say, to, you know, that hasn't caught on fire yet in the running circles. But I think you're going to be hearing more about it.
So you got a one of those weight belts on, like the running in the pool weight belts?
Exactly right. And then he's got other sort of implements that he may throw at you, like dumbbells with styrofoam on the end. You know, plastic dumbbells with styrofoam at the end, and you know, you do different things, and you know, you find really quickly, you know, where you've got tightness, where you have inflexibility, you know, where the biomechanics might be off, but you might be masking it while you're running. And if you continue to mask it, you're going to end up injured. If you continue to, you know, favor that knee or the whatever is bugging you, you'll probably end up hurting something else. And
yeah.
I find this is like a great way to once a week to sort of recenter the body for training.
And so it's a little bit like core work.
It's a little bit like core work. And when I've had some injuries, as you know, I have them here and there.
We all.
You know, yeah, like that Wapak trail race. I rolled my ankle hard 3 miles into that thing. Well,
it didn't swell up, though, did it?
It swelled up pretty good.
Yeah.
It's still a little puffy, but I try not to look at it. That I, you know, I was able to go to Steve Victorson and say, well, you know, I can't run for this week, maybe not even next week, but I, you know, I want to get this type of workout in, and he would design it for me. Buddy calling you?
No, I'm walking, buddy. These are the neighborhood dogs. They're angry because they're behind their fences.
I would be.
So, you know, that's, again, you know, Ted, if you had a sturdy frame like me, you don't have to worry about rolling. Yeah, I should talk. I broke my ankle doing the same thing, except I was doing speed work in the woods like an idiot. Coming down a ridge going about 100 miles an hour and just pop.
Yeah.
That was it.
I was really impressed with some of the descents that people were doing in that race. And, you know, when I haven't been out in the woods as much as I would like, I definitely felt a little more tentative on the downhills than I would have liked.
Yeah, you can't transition from track, you know, from road to trail like that real fast. You gotta warm up a little bit, especially something as technical as Wapak.
That's right. It'd be like going into a ski race, your very first run of the year. Run down the mountain of the year, you're in a race. You know, you don't have your skis underneath you yet.
Yeah, I think this one up in front doesn't have the roots and the rocks. It's more ATV trails and dirt road type things. But there's a bunch of horses out there, like, passing us and stuff. I don't know. It sounds like it's going to be a hoot. All right, so we're coming up on our time. What I'm going to do, right, is I'm going to get all the guys that I know that are running this race, and we'll get them all on a big conference call next week.
That'll be fun.
And we'll talk about the race afterwards. I'll get I know a couple guys that are doing it, Scott and Ron. A couple guys I talked to.
Yep. Well, we're definitely going to have some good war stories.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll have a conference call, unless, of course, I DNF, and then we won't have a conference call. We'll just forget all about it.
Well, all I can say is I hope we're both on that call.
Yeah, yeah. And you probably, even with your long run of 22 miles, you'll probably still kick my ass. There's a little Sheltie chasing me now.
A little added workout for you there, Chris.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll see you. When are you going up?
I'm going up late Saturday.
You got to pick up your packet Saturday night by 8.
Yeah, so I'm going to get there by 8. I think I also read, Chris, that, you know, those, if you want to give yourself, pack yourself some bags for those feed stations, you got to have it in by 8 o'clock Saturday, too.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna definitely do that. That's some drop bags. And Yvonne and the kids are coming up supposedly, so you know, we'll see. Maybe they'll crew for me. Sometimes bringing them along is more of it's just more baggage, but we'll see.
All right,
man. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, and we'll continue the long, strange trip we're on.
Absolutely, man.
All right,
we'll see you.
Bye. All right, we'll see you up there.
Here's today's quick tips.
She sounds so angry when she does that bumper promo for me, doesn't she? So anyhow, I told you I was going to talk about speed work. I'm going to give you a crash course on speed work. Why do you want to do speed work? Well, you want to do speed work if you want to get faster, if you want to get stronger. Speed work is applicable for any distance running, distance being anything over like a mile all the way up to a marathon that you want to take some significant time off your pace and your finishing time. It's a little bit different. There's basically five elements of training that you can run across. There's base, which is your garbage miles. Those are your, you know, your 5 to 10K a day that you're running anyhow. And then there's speed. There's tempo. Tempo is like you might refer to as threshold. So that's running at your threshold, getting comfortable running at your threshold. There's long, which is your long run. And there's any specialty stuff, which is like hills, uphills, downhills, you know, running in the woods, other things like that that you might be training for a specific race. So speed work. Well, first thing you got to do is you got to find yourself a track or some flattish bit of land. Most people will like a track because it's measured. And your track's going to be, in most cases, a 400-meter track. And for most part, you can do the equivalent and call it a quarter-mile track. The difference in distance isn't going to make any, unless you're a professional, it's not going to make that much of a difference on you. So all the times, you can just equate the times. Why do you want to do this? What's the speed work? Well, first thing it's going to do is it's going to hit your mechanics. You're going to need a different set of mechanics to run speed work than you will be doing with your normal everyday running. And it's going to take you a while for your body to learn how to do these mechanics if you've just been out being a jogger or a runner. So if you're out there doing the speed work, your mechanics are different. Chances are you may need to really work on your form and look at it, and you're going to be leaning forward more. You'll be coming off your forefoot, and you're going to be kicking your legs up behind you, your heel kicks to your buttocks, and you're going to be lifting your legs and stretching out your stride a little bit. It's really a lot of mechanics, swinging, holding your hands high, running loose, and form is real important. So you're going to have an opportunity here to work on your form. It's going to take at least 3 weeks for your body to get used to this. And until that time, it's just going to feel terrible. You're going to feel like you're the you know, the Tin Man running out there on the track. So give yourself some time. You want to do this maybe once a week, a hard speed work once a week with your tempo and your long and your base. So what's else it going to do? Well, it's going to improve your what they call the max VO2. So basically, the amount of oxygen that you can process through your muscles. Speed work is going to do that dramatically, especially if you haven't done it before. The other thing it's going to do is it's going to move your threshold pace. So the speed at which your body starts not being able to cope with the pace anymore, it's going to move that. And so if you haven't done it before, it could move it substantially. It could move it 30 seconds to 2 minutes a mile, depending on your mechanics and your body. And it's going to give you a lot of strength, just pure muscle strength. And this is, in turn, is going to give you a lot of mental toughness. It's going to let you know that you can actually run this speed for a quarter mile or half a mile or 2 miles, whatever you choose to do your speed work at. And so when you're in a race and you say, hey, I got a half mile left in this marathon, you'll know that you have this in the tank. Basically what you're doing is you're putting yourself purposely in your discomfort zone, so out of your comfort zone. So there's some pain involved here, or effort, I would say, not necessarily pain, a lot of mental toughness involved. You go out and do your speed work, and you spend time in your discomfort zone so that when you go and do your race or do your normal training, you'll find that it lifts your pace in all other areas, and it allows you to finish stronger and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's the fastest way to get faster and to feel better and feel stronger. The warning is, speed work is hard on your body mechanically. There's a lot more force involved, so you probably want to ease into it. So if you haven't done speed work before, start with some 100 yards or 100 meters, and then work up to 200 meters, and then work up to 400 meters, and work all the way. If you're doing a marathon, work all the way up to a mile. You should be able to do 3 to 4 to 5 1 mile speed reps. Yeah, before your marathon. If you do that, then you're guaranteed for your marathon time in combination with your tempo and your log. But you got to work up to it. Work up to it slow because it is very hard on your body, and you don't want to get injured, right? So that's my my speed work primer, as they would say in out in the UK where Nigel is, or primer as we are here. And hey, you know, give it a try. Everybody likes to be fast, right? All right, man, that's it. In the can, episode 28. I got another interview coming up with Tom, and Tom is an adventure racer because I have the same problem as everybody else. Once I achieve one goal, I got to look for another goal, and I have learned that you need to set your goals before the event. Otherwise, you have that 2 months of sitting around eating potato chips, and it takes a while to get back in shape. When you get to be old, you can't afford to get out of shape. You got to sort of maintain it. But I think I'm going to run a marathon in November. And that'll be my goal to get midterm goal. But this adventure racing with Tom sounds like a hoot. I'm not sure I'm up for that yet. I got to get my kids out of the house and before I have that kind of chunk of time. Or maybe one of those long relays. And so anyhow, I'm going to be up at Bay State. If anybody needs anything, we'll be working that. Was on the Runner's Roundtable this week. Check out the Runner's Roundtable. Just Google Runner's Roundtable. It's a podcast, a live podcast. Hopefully I didn't sound like too much of a dork, but we were talking about the book I wrote a couple years back called Midpacker's Lament. You can see it on my website, runrunlive.com, and had fun writing it. Think you'd enjoy it. The other thing is, anybody wants to call me, leave a comment, send me an email, give me your address. I'll send you an experienced running shirt from my collection in the running shrine in my laundry room, and I'm sure it'll be a hoot. So there you go. I also had getting a lot of questions. Chris, how do you put out so many shows? Well, one thing is I have it fairly well scripted. I'm sort of an operations guy, so I have everything fairly well automated here. So all I really have to do is have a 20-minute phone call with somebody and come up with 5 to 10-minute sections, and the rest of it's just whacking it together. I don't really edit a lot, and I've just set it up so I can drop the pieces in, and it's pretty fast. Sometimes the longest part it takes me is actually FTPing the stuff up to my site, which, by the way, I've exceeded all my quotas and had to upgrade from the one package to the next package, so you guys are costing me even more money. So anyhow, been very stressful the last couple of weeks. My truck died on me this week. I took it in to get it checked out, and the guy started listing all the things that were wrong with it. I stopped him when he got to about $3,000 and said, I guess it's time for a new car. So I'm without a car. I'm driving my old motorcycle in the cold weather now. And you'd think someone someone like me would actually have a car they could drive. But at the Vermont, going to run the Vermont 50 this weekend with all my friends. Thanks for your well wishes. I am going to also, I'll do a quick update when I'm done with the race instead of making you wait 2 weeks for a Vermont 50 episode. I'll see if I can capture some audio. I'm not promising anything, but I'll see if I can give you the reality show bit there. And hey, folks, we'll see you out there. Okay, folks, this is Run, Run, Live. We're going to give you some music now. Run, Run, Live, the only podcast to try to keep it, at least try to keep it under 40 minutes in episode length. Got a great tune here for you. This is a short classical piece. It's by Fumitaka Anzai, and I enjoy Japanese stuff. My kids like it, too. But this is called Forest in the Morning, and this is because I'm going into the forest this weekend on my Vermont 50, but you can hear the forest in this piece. So if you're driving or you're running, make sure you close your eyes and really concentrate, because you can hear, you can just will find yourself in a forest in the morning. It's so cool. Thank you, my little furry forest creature friends, and have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.